Good morning and welcome to Grendene S.A. conference call to announce and analyze the first quarter of 2015 earnings results. This conference call will be carried out in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. Currently, all participants are on listen-only mode, and subsequently we will have a Q&A session where instructions will be provided to you. If you need the assistance during the conference call, please request the assistance of an operator pressing star zero. We would like to remind you that this conference call is being recorded, and it will be made available at http://ri.grendene.com.br. We have here the main officers of Grendene that will also be available to answer questions: Rudimaldo Dall'Onder, CEO; Gelson Luiz Rostirolla, VP; Francisco Schmidt, CFO and Investor Relations. And main officers, we would like to announce that the press release of the first quarter of 2015 is available at http://ri.grendene.com.br in Portuguese and in English. Before we proceed, we would like to clarify that forward-looking statements made during this conference call regarding perspectives, operation, and financial prospects of the company's business are forecast based on the management's future expectations. These expectations strongly depend on market conditions, the general performance of the country, the sector, and international markets. We would like to give the floor to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, CFO and Investor Relations Director of the company. Mr. Francisco, you have the floor. Good morning to everyone. Thank you very much for participating in this conference call to announce the first quarter of 2015 earnings release, as well as the future prospects of the company. As you know, yesterday we announced the information regarding this period, and our press release is in our site of Investor Relations. In my comment, I will be very brief. I would like to highlight some aspects that are relevant regarding the performance, economic, financial aspects that we are facing, and prospects for Grendene, and then we will have time to entertain questions and answers. Before we embark in performance, I would like to draw your attention for the distribution of dividends. Under Grendene's bylaws, the minimum obligatory dividend is calculated as 25% of the net profit remaining for the year, after payments to reserves specified by law. Based on the balance found on March 31st of 2015 and maintaining the policy of quarterly interim dividends, and in accordance with the policy published on February 13, 2014, the company will advance payments of the interim dividends ad referendum, the annual general meeting of stockholders that approved accounts for the year 2015 of $67.4 million to be paid from May 13, 2015. This interim dividend will be payable to holders of record of Grendene's common shares, GRND3, on April 27, 2015, the cutoff date. Thus, the shares will be traded ex-dividend on April 28, 2015 on the BMF Bovespa. Grendene has maintained for 13 consecutive years by a large margin its leadership in footwear export, with 39.2% of Brazilian exports in the first quarter of 2015. And now we will talk about the performance of 2015. We are constantly stating that the Brazilian economy has slowed down its activity. It is a fact that 2010 was the last year when the GDP presented strong growth. Since then, the Brazilian economy has been going backwards. This quarter was not different. The economic situation continues in deterioration according to what was anticipated, as well as a lower impact of this deterioration in Grendene's business. These results are a consequence of combination of realistic anticipation of the economic environment evolution together with the execution of measures to better navigate within the scenario. Among these measures, we can see a balance of a product portfolio, correct pricing, the price or the efforts to improve the process with the objective to improve our margins, and good performance in our trade, that would be point of sales. It is true that favorable exchange rate benefits our exports, especially in the first quarter when the percentage of export revenue is always higher than the total revenue as a result of the natural seasonality of the trade. Another effect that we consider as a tailwind is that the drop on the international price of commodities neutralized the exchange rate effects and the cost of raw material in real, at least until February this year, but we already have higher price in the purchase of resins that will reflect on our costs in the upcoming months. Our firm determination to maintain ourselves strong in the international market when the exchange was less favorable to exports provides dividends in this moment. Nevertheless, good part of Latin America faces a slowdown in the economic activity, hindering sales and products priced in dollars for exports are more expensive for the Europeans. With this, we are facing a drop of 21.3% in the volume that is being exported. That is a drop of 0.2% of the export revenue with a considerable improvement within its margins. The domestic market, where consumption has steeply dropped by and large, we calculate that the consumption of footwear maintained itself stable in sell-in, although this shows us that sell-out has also dropped. And we have taken advantage to grow 11% in volume in pairs, increasing our market share and increasing our gross revenue in the domestic market at 5.2%. The migration toward the consumption of products of lower prices per unit, characteristics of periods of slowdown of economic activity, explains the growth of higher volume than the growth of revenue. By and large, the gross revenue in the first quarter of 2015 increased 3.7% vis-a-vis the first quarter of 2014. Now, the net revenue grew 7.8% and the total volume maintained itself stable with 46.8 million pairs within the quarter. Now, in our operation, we also made lots of progress with a slight elevation in the volume of pairs. The COGS dropped 0.8% in the first quarter of 2015 vis-a-vis the same period 2014. And operational expenses were under control. As a result, we observed an increase of gross margin of 460 basis points and an increase of 580 basis points in EBIT margin. Now, the net margin strengthened by financial revenues was of 620 basis points. With these results, we attained a great increase of 41.8% in our net income and 50.7% in the EBIT vis-a-vis the first quarter of 2015. When we compare 2015 with 2014 first quarter, we have to observe that it is a record result in the first quarters of Grendene. EBIT increased mainly in the domestic market. Now, it is stable in the external market due to different reasons, in the domestic market due to the increase of volume, and the foreign market because of the neutralized exchange rate with a drop of volume and consequently improving the EBIT margin in exports. Now, with these results, the operational cash generation was of 231.9 million reais, resulting on a net cash flow of 1 billion 64 million, an increase of 29.1% vis-a-vis, versus 31 of December 2014 and 21.5% regarding the same period of 2014. Now, in the first quarter of 2015, the exchange rate effect was very positive and was 29.1 million. The gross revenue of export dropped 17.6% before considering the effect of the exchange rate and 0.2% after considering this effect, always comparing it to the first quarter of 2014. In the presentation, what we always show in the site, you can see the evolution of our revenue and the different impacts in terms of volume and price within the different markets. Here you can see on slide three of this presentation, and I believe that you will see the explanations of volumes and prices in each one of the markets. Now, the foundation that has provided us gains of market share with good returns continue in place, and they are even better in times of crisis. The scale production of attractive products with high perceived value, strong brands, accessible prices, produced at costs that guarantee profitability and distribute in an efficient way with great flexibility to adapt to the supply of products in order to capture value. These external factors affect the results. We highlight them as negative. The slow dynamism of economy, unemployment, and persistent inflation as positive factors, favorable exchange rate, and a demand more geared toward products of lower ticket.
Year on year, our results have improved when compared to previous years, sometimes a lot better, sometimes slightly better. In the year to date, for the last 6 years, we managed to remain reasonably within our forecasts established in our guidance, even though we had to face several unexpected difficulties. I insist that the economic environment has been quite challenging since 2010. Under this point of view, the results of the first quarter 2015 were really good and within our expectations. Still, we can expect a deepening of the recession in Brazil, and this time with a few other elements which may impact Grendene's results going forward. Unemployment, which directly affects consumers' income, position in the base of the consumption pyramid, is already at a higher level than we expected for the year, having just reached the level of 7.4%. And the available income for that consumer has been dwindling with an increase of the so-called administered prices of the economy. The volatility of the Brazilian currency, as well as which is considerably higher than that of the commercial currencies, international currencies, might affect the price of raw materials in the short run, even though we do not believe in an upward trend of those prices. Strong inflation and economic slowdown complete the scenario for the rest of the year. As usual, we will position ourselves to better face that scenario, and our expectation is still to get better results this year than last year. As you all know, the negative view of the Brazilian economy does not entail a negative view of the company's results. Gaining market share with little or no growth in volume, which might even remain below 200 million pairs for the year. Get the mix right, including pricing and better margins, especially the net margins, will be the challenges we'll face this year. Pressure on revenues driven from a slower or weaker demand, and also a pressure on costs due to a decrease of the Rain Trágora program at 3% for 1% starting 2015, the PIS/COFINS of 4.65% on financial revenues, and a possible tax relief on payrolls will certainly make this an even more difficult challenge to face. In this first quarter, we managed to overcome those obstacles. However, we anticipate slower activity in the second quarter due to the seasonality of the business, and will also be the most difficult period for us to overcome or to reach higher results than we did last year. In the second half of the year, when we traditionally see a higher sales volume, we will have also more flexibility to offset negative effects of the economic environment, as we have shown in previous years. In our view, the macroeconomic situation will only stop deteriorating in the second half of 2015. We expect to see some reaction in 2016, provided all adjustments announced by the government work. We need to be prepared for that kind of environment. This way, we are confident. In difficult times, our growth always happened, and one of our characteristics is that we are very nimble in adapting. We still believe in the potential of this market, and based on this outlook, Grandany has a reasonable expectations in terms of reaching the announced targets for the periods ranging from 2008 through 2018. That means growing gross revenue from 8-12% and net profit from 12-15%, with a weighted average from 2008 to 2018. This is what we had to present in terms of first quarter results. We can now move on to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we can now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the list, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Alan Cardoso from Banco Safra. Schmidt, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I have a couple of questions. Well, first of all, congratulations on the results, robust results for the company as a whole. Clearly, exports have helped you achieve those results, but let's move to the questions. The marketing expenses in this quarter were atypically low when compared to net revenues. When we look at your historical data, starting in 2010, you posted this year the lowest number. Within this context, what can we expect in terms of marketing for the remaining of the year, and how can you explain that low number for the first quarter? Good morning, Alan. This is just due to seasonality, to the calendar. We are maintaining our policy of keeping marketing expenses at a level of 8 to 10% of net revenues. And as we always say, that's a figure for the year. So again, based on the calendar, on opportunities, on tactics, this will lead a quarter to have different pressures than others. That does not mean we have changed our policies in terms of marketing, even when compared to previous years. So again, it's just a seasonality issue. When I say calendar, what I mean is the media-driven calendars. When we have opportunities or good chances to advertise in different shows, so we can never be really sure of when that's going to happen. So that lower level of expense does not, again, imply any change in policy. It's just that we had a different set of opportunities presented to us. And we always try to allocate resources the best way possible throughout the year. Okay, Schmidt, and the second question, could you give us a little more color on that increase of selling volume in the first quarter? What was the main driver, both in product categories, so that we can have a more qualitative analysis of what the results mean? Because we had a drop in price, you can conclude that the basic products grew at a higher rate. The Ipanema line, for example, lower ticket products. Several characteristics contribute to that. The higher temperatures in the summer, and also we have consumers with less money in their wallets, so they'll try to buy cheaper products, of course. So we have a higher volume in those categories where price is lower. We're not talking about a discount because we look at it, COGS is also down. So we are manufacturing a simpler product because that's the demand we identified in the market. And we do not have the official numbers yet, so this is just a guesswork, but we do not believe that the consumption of footwear in Brazil has gotten even close to those figures we posted. So we believe that we have gained market share and that consumption in Brazil, and it's also important to differentiate that, the sell-in has been stable or even dropped slightly in the first quarter. If we analyze IBGE data concerning apparel and footwear, they talk about a drop of 7.3% in the first quarter when compared to the first to the same period of last year. So, in fact, we have moved ahead and gained market share. In terms of sellout, as I said, there is some evidence of a slowdown. So those sales did take place, but they happened at a slower pace than we had expected. And I'm not saying anything new. I mean, we are not immune to crisis, but we need to adapt to difficult times. So when we identify a crisis, we are not trying to feel sorry about it, but we are trying to define what to do to react and adapt to that. Okay, Schmidt, for the next question, I don't know if my numbers are correct. I'm trying to follow the prices in reais. We try to analyze your costs, and that's those numbers are in the press release. The PVC price has moved up in March, and in April, the PVC price has sped up even more. So the PVC in dollars is dropping at a lower rate, but when we have an impact of the foreign exchange rate, then we have a negative impact in reais. Am I seeing this correctly? What kind of mitigating measures are you planning to take to try and offset that cost pressure coming from the PVC raw materials? Well, the international price of PVC is not going up. It did not go up in April, for example. Now, even in reais, it did not go up even in reais. But from an international standpoint, it did not go up in dollars. The recent trend in foreign exchange rates was to devalue dollars. 3.3 we had a couple of weeks ago. Today we're at around 2.97. So those are factors that contribute to bring the price of the PVC raw material down. We did see some increase in March for the PVC, but we were still talking about the year-to-date figures. We are still way below inflation. As I said, we do not see any upward trend for those prices. There is no economic or financial reason in terms of supply and demand for international prices of those commodities to go up. And usually, commodity prices moves opposite to foreign exchange rates. The problem here in Brazil is our volatility. That may affect cost, isolated to it. So we do not have any forecast in terms of an uptrend curve of those prices. When we buy PVC at a higher price or even at a lower price, in any event, that effect will reflect in companies' costs 45 to 60 days later. But again, up until now, that's not a source of concern for us. We do not see any pressure on margins arising from those factors. We still believe that the dollar will be valuated in the short to the mid-run. That seems to be the trend in terms of foreign exchange rate, and that we see that as an international trend, not only local trend for Brazil. And with that, commodities tend to drop in prices. Of course, Brazil will have some differences in terms of foreign exchange rates. We may devalue a little more than other markets, and this will, of course, impact raw material prices. But for now, again, it's not a source of concern for us. And what do we do to manage that? We try to manipulate our inventory. We try to make purchases on a regular basis so that we can distribute or allocate price increases throughout the year. But at the end of the day, the only solution is to pass that on to the prices. Of course, when raw material prices go up, we need to work on our pricing as well. But again, we do not think this will be the case this year. Okay, two more questions. A comment you made which surprised me. I understand the seasonality factor. I understand that the numbers for the second quarter are not that good. But when we compared with the second quarter of 2014, it would seem to me that Grendene would have no problems in overcoming that. But as you mentioned, the second quarter would be more difficult. One of the reasons is, of course, as you mentioned, the decoupling between sell-in and sell-out. And, of course, the sales channels have a good level of inventory, if you can confirm that. And are other factors that lead you to think that this will be a very difficult quarter going forward when we compare to EBITDA for last year in the same period? It was a drop of 241 B. The EBITDA for the first quarter 2014 had dropped 15%, and the second quarter 2014, that EBITDA dropped 21% when compared to the previous year. So it seemed to be an easier scenario than it really is. Am I correct in my reading, in my understanding?
Yes, the economic scenario, it is worse in the second quarter than during the first quarter. Unemployment, as I mentioned, is stronger now, and these effects emerge in the economy, and you can feel them in the economy. Consumers are spending less. The signals that we are receiving from the retail market is that the situation is more difficult, during the second quarter than during the first quarter. So this is a signal. This does not mean that Grendena won't be able to overcome this situation. This means that this is the most difficult quarter that we will face in the year in terms of the economy. You know, the base, the foundation of last year, when we see this aspect, will it be easier to overcome during the second quarter than the first quarter or during the other quarters? So in terms of economic environment, this is a quarter where it will be difficult to expect a good result like in the first quarter. It's all a relative matter. I don't want our shareholders to think, well, 41% of net profit in the first quarter, and then the second quarter we will have 50% of net profit. The economic situation in this country is difficult. This does not mean that we will not be able to overcome the second quarter. So, you know, if worse things happen, our actions sometimes are limited because the volumes of the second quarter are the lowest volumes. Everything that you mentioned takes some time to turn into results, and with low volumes, it's even worse. This is a quarter where, I don't know if this is the correct word, but we are at the mercy of the economic situation. During the order quarters, we have a better outflow of products. This is what we wanted to convey with this comment when we talked about the difficulties of the second quarter. Now, certainly, by and large, in terms of figures, I believe that consumption will worsen during the second quarter. This will drop. But we are going to position ourselves in order to overcome this and to help Meiji exceed what we produced during the second quarter last year. Perhaps not as good as last year, but we will try to overcome this. Now, adding up to this question, now within your channel, is there a difference between the sell-in, sell-out? In terms of economics, I see it is easy to see. Now, when we see the sales channels of Grendene, the volume of the second quarter, will this increase your sell-in because you stocked your channel during the first quarter, or this is not the case? Now, the comment of the trade is that our product was the product that had made the best performance in the trade. Therefore, our product sold most. They had less of our products in their inventory. Now, Grendene is present in all the consumption channels. We have around 60,000 POSs. What is happening is that in the economy and garment and footwear sector, they are observing this. With this feedback that we have from our trade, that our product was the product that has the best performance by and large at the POS. Yes, of course, there are cases that have more stock than what they would like, and there are different situations that we see in our economy. We can see places that things are slower. If you see Rio de Janeiro, for example, with this crisis, a region connected to oil and gas, the consumption has dropped more than average. So it is very difficult to make a comment on this. Very specifically speaking, you know, each region has a different situation, and this is where our ability of updating this data and working in each region according to its own challenges. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your answers. Next question. Peter
Batia, buyer. Yes, hi. Thank you for the call. Congratulations on a strong result. My name is Deepinder Bhatia from Bayer Asset Management, and I have two questions for you. The first is with regard to the working capital position. There was a beneficial movement in receivables, a favorable movement between the last quarter and the current quarter, and at the same time, there was also a favorable movement in current liabilities, so that your working capital improved quite substantially. Can you please guide us if that is a one-off or a sustainable movement, and what might be the reasons that you are now receiving a better receivable situation and the current liabilities are still holding up correspondingly? So that's the first question. And if you would like, I can tell you my second question or I can wait for a response.
I prefer to answer question one by one because otherwise I forget what the questions are. Now, regarding working capital, well, it's completely seasonal. Our policies have not changed. And in our policy, we give a time frame of receivables that is very generous for the trade. We use our privileged cash flow situation as a competitive weapon. So by definition, we have a receivable, accounts receivable of around 100 days. Now, of course, we have a seasonality factor here, so our sales peak is always in the fourth quarter, where we will also observe the peak of the accounts receivable. And on the other side, the valley will be in July when we have less accounts receivables and more cash flow. So this working capital is when it's received, it becomes a cash flow. Now our inventory works in a different way. It increases a bit during the season, and here it's more for purchase and to create strategies to protect ourselves from variations. Now when we talk about operational liabilities, well, our policy shows us that we have the best cost. If we have to pay cash, we sometimes prefer to pay in cash. But provided we receive discounts and we have lower prices here, mm-hmm. This is why our operational liabilities are very low vis-a-vis the operational assets that are the most important part of the company's investment. Now, the other liabilities are taxes that they have 10, 15 days and are not very relevant. So what we observe right now is a merely seasonable matter. We don't see an improvement or a structural improvement from here on.
Okay. All right. May I ask you a little bit about...
Good morning. I would like to better understand this drop in your volumes vis-a-vis last year's quarter, and I would like to know your expectations for the upcoming quarters. Throughout this period, we saw a general devaluation of all the international currencies vis-a-vis the dollar. So what happened when the products are priced in dollars? What happened in all the markets is that products became more expensive. And this could be, we could reduce prices in dollars in order to offset this moment. Grandene has seen that this is a moment of volatility and we cannot take an action regarding this, and so our prices in dollars remain as they are, and with this there was a drop. Now to this we have to add that a part that represents one-third or one-fourth of our exports, that is the rest of Latin America, where they're facing a strong slowdown of their economy. We observe this not only in Argentina, that is the candidate to explain this effect, but we also see like Venezuela, Bolivia, Paraguay, so all the Latin America economies have slowed down their economy, therefore more expensive prices with economies that are not so dynamic. Well, what is the consequence? The consequence is a drop of volumes. Now, when you maintain the prices, what we harvest is a gain in margin. We increased our export margins. Now, in terms of prospects, it's more difficult to mention because the second quarter isn't important in terms of exports. It is a period where you export very little, and even during the third quarter where this increases a bit, it's not very relevant, but the last quarter is the one when exports gain momentum. We will have to see what the situation like will be during this period in terms of currency, and here we will make decisions to face the situations. How more expensive will our products be to Europe and Asia based on the variation of the exchange rate? So a variable that would help us to know if the Americans will increase their interest rate or not. For they've announced it for three times and they postponed it, but this produced an action within the currency and on our products. This affects this. So today we really cannot know what's going to happen. We are in a very uncomfortable situation. We have good margins. We're present in over 90 countries. We have strong distribution. Therefore, we can adapt ourselves to different currencies and to make the best of this evolution. We really are not depending on the exchange rate, in the sense that the margins are very low and any variation of the exchange rate will negatively affect our exports. And what about, furniture? And what is the investment expectation in your consolidated results and when it comes to furniture? Now, our furniture business, with the sales of last year, were about 1.5 million reais. That is a very small amount when you compare it to the size of Grandani. But this shows us that the business is starting to grow. We are attaining revenue. This is a new product, a new concept, different products. And it will really take some time until it really picks up. I can't say anything different regarding our expectations. What we can say is that till the time being, nothing has happened to change our expectation from positive to a negative.
We are now opening a flagship store in May in São Paulo. This opening will mark the start of the sales operation in Brazil. We have decided not to have any sales in Brazil before we open our flagship store. The idea here is to position the brand in the market with the flagship store. And it's all happening according to plan. In terms of investments, the guidance we gave the market was that for this year, our investments will be limited to a maintenance investment level in the productive base. which would be slightly above depreciation. So we're talking about 50, 55 million reais a year. So we'd be talking about 60 to 70 million reais in terms of investment for the year. And that is basically concerning capacity. This does not require large investments in terms of furniture, I mean. Those investments have been made for the furniture arm of the business. We could have perhaps marketing, but that accounts as expenses. We have no manufacturing plants. All production is outsourced, and the scenario will remain so. And we can also see that we do not expect the furniture business to reach the break-even point in 2015. So this year we expect to have higher revenues, but not enough to have a significant contribution to the company's profits. On the contrary, it will account as an expense when we have the final results. An expense that will not be higher than last year's expense. So again, the impact on the results will not be relevant. Okay, thank you. Next question from Mr. Batia.
Hi. My question is about capacity utilization, and specifically given that your strategy in the current economic environment seems to be following the market, that is, lower price points and higher volume. Do you have enough capacity at this point, or is there any special excess investments that you may need to make in order to be able to meet with the higher volume, lower price points? And the second question I have is to do with the advertising spend, which you have talked about and responded to a previous questioner. I notice here that in the long term, your goal is to be in the 8 to 10% range, and of course it is on the low side at 4.5% in the most current quarter. But even if we look back for the last 4, 5, almost 7 years, you have not quite been in the range of 8 to 12%. So is it the case that your current advertising spend is adequate to maintain the brand and the advertising share, the voice of the brand in the marketplace, and that you do not actually need to spend in the range that you have guided, and that in fact the participation level in relationship to net revenues that we have seen in the last 7 to 8 years is the more accurate range going forward? Thank you.
I'll try to address your question. The expenses with marketing and advertising between 8 and 10%, as you said. Usually, what do? We define a budget for marketing and advertising. And, of course, it is a percentage of the revenues. But we have an estimate for the revenue, but we do not know exactly what the revenue level will be. That's why we have a range. So if you have higher revenues than we expected, marketing expenses which have been made will be at a lower percentage point. Of course, we define that marketing budget based on costs of those marketing actions for the objective we are trying to reach. And with that, we establish, as I said, a budget which will give us a range of value, which usually varies from 8 to 12% of net revenue. What we see, our assessment is that investment has proven itself to be enough to keep us competitive in the market, and also has allowed us to build brand awareness in the market. We are also confident that this has a cumulative effect. It's no use making a very concentrated effort on a short period and then simply disappear from the market. So the repetition year on year of those investments will help us build brand awareness. So one-off actions are not really productive in that respect. So we do not have a forecast in terms of changing that. We do not anticipate any change in that. We are satisfied with the results we have achieved in that front. So what
Thank you.
We also need to think about is our activities directly in the trade, in the point of sale. Our consumers are very sensitive to marketing initiatives that happen in the point of sale. So we try to balance those actions as well to get the necessary effect. I lost the very beginning of your question, so I expect to have answered all your concerns.
Yes, thank you. My only remainder was to do with capacity utilization. Given that you are now following the market with a higher volume strategy in what is a softer economic environment, I'm curious to know if your capacity, your production capacity currently is adequate, and if otherwise you need to make any new significant capital expenditure on capacity in coming years that we should be aware of.
Okay. We added capacity in 2013 when we expanded our capacity from 200 million pairs a year to 250 million pairs a year. That definition of capacity is an approximate number because, of course, depending on the mix, that capacity will vary slightly. So our estimate based on that is that our capacity will be enough for the next 3 or 4 years, of course, depending on the demand from the market. Grendene has an investment cycle of 4 to 5 years where at every 4 or 5 years we add capacity. But even before that, our investments rank a little above amortization. So for 2013, we spent 160 million reais. In 2014, 120. And this year, we are down to 60 to 65 million reais in terms of investments. And this will remain so for the next 2 to 3 years. Unless we identify
Thank you very much,
capacity. For this year,
thank you very much, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
We may remain below the 200 million pair mark. So we do not have any pressure in terms of adding capacity for this year or even for next year. I'd like to add that Grendene is investment peak is a relatively small number when we compare to the size of the company. If we add our fixed assets, it is below the profits, the yearly profits. So our investment levels are relatively low. Accounts receivable would account for the most, as I said before.
Thank you.
Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Alan Cardoso from Safra Bank. And just a follow-up question, one final inquiry. When we look at your profitability, exports have clearly helped this quarter. But when we look at the domestic market, what can we say in terms of comparison? Of course, I know there is seasonality and other factors that impact those numbers, but how can we analyze profitability for sales in Brazil for the first quarter? You're talking about the first quarter or as not look for the coming quarters? I'm talking about the first quarter, but if you'd like to add a perspective and outlook for the coming quarters, even better. Well, the first quarter, the margins for the domestic market were above last year's numbers. And now with no major change, we had higher volumes, and that, of course, helped. But again, we have different situations for different brands. Yeah. We have brands which fare better in the current economic scenario. But we do not have one single brand which is not performing at least satisfactorily. So each brand plays an important role in our portfolio, and each brand has been delivering the expected profitability levels. What was a bit outside our expectation was the better margins in exports because of the foreign exchange effect. And the domestic market margin was better, but not as good as those coming from the export front. Looking forward, we see no major differences for the remaining of the year. So the intention is to improve margins when compared to our numbers of last year, and we plan to do that in every quarter. Of course, we have challenges ahead in terms of the payrolls. The Reintegra program has impacted exports, but we have a positive offset because of the foreign exchange rate. Of course, unemployment brings volume down, as you would expect. So those are the drivers we try to balance to reach better margins. Okay, very good. Thank you, Schmidt. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Q&A session is now over. I'd like to give the floor back to Mr. Schmidt for his final remarks. Just in closing, the results of the first quarter were in line with our expectations, which encourages us to further improve our business model. Our ability to deliver profits on a continuous basis, and also our privileged cash position and good dividend payouts have been our stronger characteristics, and we'd like to preserve those, and we will not We work to achieve that. Once again, thank you all. Green Dennis conference call is now over. Thank you all for participating, and have a nice day. And thank you for using Chorus Call.